Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 138 of The Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. How are you doing, Sarah?
I'm great, Megan. How are you?
How's the weather where you are?
It's beautiful. I'm sorry
really?
You're snowed in.
It's so snowy here. As of this recording, which, you know, is a couple weeks before we're going to air, it has been snowing for like 15 straight days. I don't even know what to do anymore.
It's
ridiculous.
I can't even.
It's beautiful. I really can't complain. It is so pretty to look at, and it hasn't been bitter cold. It's cold, but like not bitter. So it's enjoyable, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'm really tired of shoveling, and I'm really tired of
winter,
wiping my car
there's
off.
Kind of a lot of winter left, so I just hope that you guys get a little break.
I think this is going to be like a polar vortex type of situation for the next few months. So I'm just buckling in. You know what, though? Let's talk about being a happier mom.
Right.
That will make me,
we
that
have
will
some
help
habits.
Me
we
shift
have some
my perspective. This is a part two of the episode that we had last week, which was the 10 habits of mostly happy moms. And we're just talking about the things that we have found that have helped us be happier in our lives as moms, things often that we didn't discover till we'd been at this for a while. So we're hoping to give some of you guys kind of like a jump start or a head start.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't really start to notice these patterns until you're a little bit away from at least the years in the trenches. So yeah, last week we gave you five of our 10 habits of happy moms. If you missed it, don't worry about it. Keep right on listening. They're not in any chronological order, although we do hope you'll go back and listen so you can get all 10. So before we launch in today, we do have a sponsor.
So Sarah, you know that one of my least favorite tasks is to go to the post office.
Oh yeah.
You know this because I haven't sent you your Christmas present yet.
It's January. You're still,
I don't think I'm within the window anymore. It's like,
maybe not.
It's been many, many weeks. But so I'm really excited about our sponsor, Pitney Bowes, because they have solutions that are like, basically you get a subscription and it comes with a scale. And so you can weigh your packages at home.
Yep.
You can print out the postage and send it. You don't have to go to the post office anymore, which is really exciting.
Yeah, this is really amazing, especially if you run a small business from home or just do a lot for any of your outside hobbies. You're starting a business. Anytime you find yourself like needing to go to the post office more than, say, I don't know, what's too much, Megan? Like once a quarter is too much for me.
Once a quarter is too much.
Yeah. Yes. So this is such a great solution. And they have different options depending on how much shipping you do from home. So I don't know if you guys know this, but next week, January 21st, the USPS mailing and shipping costs are going up. But if you sign on with Pitney Bowes with one of their solutions, you're going to save 3 cents per letter after after the prices go up, and that's not going to be available at the post office. So you literally can kind of beat the increase, beat the system, and you'll be paying less and saving money, and saving time when you're using one of their solutions.
Love beating the system. Well, the plans start at just $5 a month. And for our listeners, Pitney Bowes is offering a free trial. So you're sure to find the solution that's right for you. So just visit pb.com/mom to learn more and try it for free. Terms apply, so see the sites for details. But that's pb.com/mom. And thank you to Pitney Bowes for sponsoring this episode.
All right. So Megan, you going to kick us off?
I am. I'm going first this week. Well, this one I love because it's very similar actually to your very first one last week, which was kind of about embracing the child that you actually have instead of the one you thought you might get or like the kid you were. And so my first habit of mostly happy moms this week is to embrace the mom you are and not the mom you wish you were. And we all know how it is to have that fantasy mom. I know I've talked about this before, like I had this idea that I was going to be this like earth mother wearing long dresses and like skipping through fields and doing crafts and art and all this stuff that really was just a very romanticized idea of what it would be to be a mom, I think. And it really didn't fit anything about my personality. I don't wear long dresses. I very rarely skip through fields. I don't do art. I like business.
Yeah.
You know? Just certain things about me that just, I don't have the patience I thought I would have. There's just a lot of things about me that to be myself, I can't be that sort of fantasy mom. And had I tried, had I beat myself up about not being that mom, or had I had I really tried too hard, mm-hmm. I think I would have just been setting myself up for so much frustration and mm-hmm. also kind of like a not very authentic life.
Yeah.
Like you start to kind of feel like you're playing a part. And right. I remember times in my life when I started bordering on that, like feeling mm-hmm. like I was in a movie about somebody else. And that's not a good feeling. So I don't know, just like you are made up of awesome qualities, no matter what those qualities are. And all yeah. of them bring value to parenting. And yeah. And you don't have to be that person because you've got other people in your life who can be that person
totally.
Too.
Totally. We've talked about that before yeah. on the show too. This is such a good one. And I think when you are a brand new mom, it's easy to think that the skills and the things that drove you pre-kids are somehow irrelevant because now you've got this whole new gig. But actually, right. wouldn't you agree that like the things that made you pre-kids can all be assets in your parenting. It just takes a little while. Like, say, for example, if you were really organized and schedule driven, like right. one of us, that made me a really good project manager in my work. It made me a good student. I can use those strengths in motherhood. Now, do they come with some drawbacks? For sure. I am not going to be like the drop everything and craft mom or
right.
like the free spirit mom, but I can use the things that make me in my mothering. So I just think that takes a while.
It does. It takes a while to figure out how those two things jive. And that can also cause some frustration. So I definitely don't want to make it seem like you're going to be the exact same person when you have a baby that right. you were before a baby. You're going to change. You're mm-hmm. going to change for the better and you should let yourself change. But at the same time, embracing the things that were super important to you and figuring out a way to make them fit this very new reality, I think is really important. And also keep in mind that whatever phase you're in right now will not last. So right. whatever phase you're in right now that makes it impossible to be the reader you were or yeah. the, you know, super organized person you were, or whatever it is, you will get back to that. You will yeah. be, there will be a time in your life in however, you know, depending on how many kids you have, in X number of years, you'll look back and say, oh, now I'm all those things I was. I've just let some of the things that didn't matter that much go. And I'm even better at some of these other yeah. things. Like you become this almost like superhuman version of some yeah. of the things that you used to be good at because you get even better at them. So yeah, it's like giving yourself a little grace and allowing yourself to change, but also being okay with being fundamentally who you always were and not yeah. trying to be something you're not. And that can be really tough.
I'm curious, do you remember like a moment or a phase where you kind of let that go, where you realized like, I am totally trying to be something that I'm not and I'm just going to be who I am? Or was it more gradual?
I think it was more gradual, but I will say that with my third kid is when I started to learn a lot of these lessons. And that was really when I let go of so much out of necessity. The third mm-hmm. was the one that kind of did me in. And it was like, if I don't throw out my hands and surrender to a lot of things here, and some things out of my control, some things in my control, if I don't throw up my hands and just allow this to be my reality, I'm going to sink. You right. know, like there's that feeling of like, this is sink or swim. And you can do that you can just kind of tread water or stay above the waves for a while. But right. if you don't roll over on your back and float at some point, you're just like, you go down like a stone. That analogy was terrible, but you know what I mean? Like there comes a point where fighting doesn't help yeah. you anymore and you just got to kind of like go with it.
Yeah.
So I really think my biggest moment was maybe when William was 3 or 4 months old, but I had been yeah. getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and social media does make it harder now, right? Because we see moms
yep.
online that it feels very aspirational to want to look like that or be like that or have kids who look like that.
Yeah.
So this is not easy, guys. We know that. But I love that one.
And really nobody can do all of it. Like nobody is good at everything.
Right.
So right. you're seeing a very curated version of people's lives.
Yeah. And there's also probably people looking at you wishing they were that kind of mom. Because I mean,
exactly.
It's just true. You put 10 moms in a room, none of them are alike, none of them are strong in the same areas, and all of them are probably wishing they had some of the qualities of the other moms.
Yeah. So. We should link to, I feel like we had an episode or maybe it was a blog post where we talked about mom superpowers.
Yeah.
And
sometimes,
yeah. And sometimes they're just like really, there are sometimes things you don't even recognize about yourself as assets mm-hmm. or as skills and strengths that are important. And I think yeah. it's really important to celebrate those things. So
totally. We will link yeah. to that. Yeah, we did that. Okay, so my turn. So my next habit is that happy moms build happy rituals into the long days and weeks.
Yeah.
Now, we very recently did a couple of episodes on rituals and routines, so I won't rehash that. I will link up. But what I notice about really happy moms, grounded moms. It's not that they don't get stressed out or don't have busy lives, but who are fundamentally happy is that they build in things to look forward to as a family or really with just for themselves. And they build them in regularly so that you're not waiting for that girls trip that's like 18 months away to let loose. You're finding, and there's so many ways to do this. And we talked in our episodes about rituals, about little things like listening to your favorite music, you know, making time for feel-good entertainment. I feel like I'm beating the drum on like mindless social media use, but I think it's because I am being more mindful.
It's a drum worth beating, yeah. I think.
But like seeking out really feel-good entertainment. And I mean, if that's the Real Housewives for you, then more power to you, like no judgment. But doing it intentionally, one of our very first episodes was about that, like giving yourself a media diet that makes you feel good. And I think that media can be part of those rituals. It's a favorite TV show. It's a movie date night once a week. So building those rituals for you and your partner and for the whole family into these sort of long days and long weeks is just, it is so fundamental to having something to look forward to, because sometimes the long days and weeks are snowy and boring.
They really can be. And I totally agree. It is just thinking about, again, it's like the intentionality. We haven't talked about the intentionality yet in this episode, but we kind of realized last week, so much of what we were talking about was just like taking that moment to think about what you really want and what would make you happy in any given moment. And another thing I just realized, Sarah, is that we haven't really, this is going to sound silly, I think, but like we haven't defined what it is to be a happy mom. No. And I think when you're in the dregs and like everything is hard, it can be maybe being happy seems like this goal that you can't reach, or maybe you have this idea in your head of what it would be to be happy. And I think for me, I'm just going to define it for myself. You know, you mentioned like being grounded and, you know, knowing that there's stress and knowing that things are going to be hard and sometimes you're going to be really unhappy, but it's brief, you know, and for me, that's always been the definition, is that I feel like I can weather or ride anything out because I have the reserves. Like I've built the reserves and groundedness to do that. And to me, that's the definition of being happy.
I love that.
Yeah, it's not like running around with a big silly grin on my face all the time.
Well, I've probably told this story on the podcast before, but I remember after having my third baby, who was my hardest baby, just having this very strange kind of split personality feeling where I was fundamentally actually really happy. I was so happy to have three kids. That's what I had wanted. I was starting to work a little bit, but not too much. I had a really good like work and mothering balance. I was so freaking tired and stressed out. And I was like, I was even surface level grumpy a lot, actually, because I had no sleep and I had three little tiny kids. And I even remember saying to Brian, like, it's so weird because I'm like, at the macro level, I'm really happy. My kids are healthy. Like, but at the day-to-day micro level, I feel super stressed. And so maybe that's another way to think about it. And grounded is one word. And like you said, feeling like you can weather the storms because you have the support system, you have the reserves, and your life is set up mostly how you want it for the most part. So I think that's another good way to think about it.
It's the big picture of being able to look at things and say, okay, life, like I realize right now things aren't perfect. However, I also know that I have what I need. I can weather the storm, whatever it is. Like that perspective of knowing this too shall pass. And I think, you know, working really intentionally on setting up a life that you maybe don't love all the time, but overall love, is like the first step.
Well, and you know, these little rituals and bigger rituals and things to look forward to is a piece of that. I really believe it. And there's no, you can do that at any stage of motherhood. You can build a hot shower into your Friday night, even when you have, you know, newborn twins. So it's a practice and a habit, and you don't have to wait to start doing that for yourself. So
that is so true.
Okay. So I think it's your turn.
It is my turn. Okay. So my next habit is, happy moms balance consistency with flexibility.
Ooh, I like that.
So yes, I remember when I was a younger mom, there was so much emphasis on being consistent, 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 consistent. Like if you set a rule, you need to like follow through with that rule until your kids are 25 years old. And if you don't, then the whole thing is just out the window and you may as well never have done it. There could be sometimes this very like all or nothing feeling. You know, like everything is so fraught. And if you don't do it right every single time, it's like it didn't count. And again, like going back to taking that long road and that long view and the big picture, I do think consistency is important when you're trying to do something like let's say, train a baby to sleep a new way, or I don't know, potty training is another good example, or when you're trying to establish habits, I think consistency is important. However, flexibility is just as important because it allows you to break your own rules because you're a grown up and you can do that. So it gives you some more power. And sometimes I feel like kids feel like they have no power, but moms often feel like we have no power. We don't have control over anything in our lives. Everything is suddenly very out of control. And just knowing that ultimately the buck stops here, ultimately I get to decide if I, you know, want to relax a rule and let my kids have ice cream before dinner or whatever it is. That's on me. I get to make that choice. And I will say the more sparingly I break my own rules, the better I feel about them.
Yes.
Like if I'm always doing it, then I just feel out of control and nothing feels good. But if I do it every now and then, it's like this little moment of like adult rebellion where you're like, haha, I get to do that. And I'm in control and I'm in charge. And I think it allows your kids to kind of see a different side of you as well when you just balance those two things correctly. And I don't, it looks different for everybody.
I totally agree. And you are definitely like a great role model in this way for me because I tend toward the more controlling, consistent. But I also have one child who really struggles with flexibility, which I probably did to him because I am so, you know, structured. And I myself, kids, the, you know, the research goes that kids feel safe and secure when they know what to expect. And that's all well and good. But kids also, flexibility is not an easy muscle to flex for all kids.
Right.
And some, you know, little kids get very tied to their routine and things being a certain way. And flexibility is a great skill to have. So it's not only, you know, allows you to cut loose once in a while or break the rules, but it's also, I think, really important for our kids to know that not everything happens the same way every time. We can change up the routine. And that is really a gift to give your kids. So I just echo that. And I think you said it so well, just the balance between consistency and flexibility. And like you said, it's not flexibility if you're willy-nilly all the time. It's only flexibility if there's sort of a baseline structure that you get to play with.
And yeah, and I just want to point out that for me, you know, you tend toward more being consistent and I tend toward wanting to be more flexible. And so I think the balance is really the important word here. If you find yourself being the one who wants to relax the rules all the time, after a while, that will seem very unsatisfying.
Right, right. And you kind of crave the consistency. We're at that January time of year where I think everybody wants to get back to the more consistency and more structure. And then, you know, there's other seasons where more flexibility. Yeah. But yeah, I think seeking that balance is an awesome one. So, okay, so we're going to take a quick break and talk about Epic, another one of our sponsors today. We love Epic. Epic is a digital library of more than 25,000 high quality popular children's books. So they have audiobooks, they have ebooks, and they have these great books where someone will actually read the story to your child.
Which is amazing and life-saving.
It is amazing.
If you're tired of reading the same book out loud over and over and over, this could save your life.
Yes, for those pre-readers who love to be read to. And everything in Epic is geared for kids ages kindergarten through sixth grade. So one of the things we love is you can let your kids, you know, poke around, search around, find things they love. And there's no section that's inappropriate for anyone in the elementary school years. And you know, really, there's quite a bit that's really appealing to preschoolers. So all that whole age range, all the way up through sixth grade. So
yeah, and there's no in-app purchases, which is also nice because nobody wants that surprise on their bill.
It's one of the very few things I will just hand to my 4.5, almost 5-year-old, where I know she's not going to mess anything up on the iPad. She's going to stay in there and actually be able to, you know, search around and click on the things that interest her. And nothing's going to be inappropriate. Nothing's going to, lead to an in-app purchase.
Yeah.
So, and in the meantime, there's a ton of great books on there. So Reed is really into Minecraft right now, and he's finding all of these crazy Minecraft books that, to be honest, I probably wouldn't buy him in the bookstore because it's a phase. They're not collector's items.
They're kind of disposable. I get that.
But he is totally eating them up. So each kid gets sort of like a profile where it'll save the books that they've read. These little badges pop up when they finish something. So there's just so much that makes it fun for the kids and more than just reading. So there's little articles, there's little quizzes, there's little educational videos. It's kind of like if you curated all of the really safe, appropriate educational content and put it in one place. So that's
I love it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're right. Like not every book is something that you're going to buy and put on your shelf. And when kids get into those phases where they want to binge, it's like you want to support that because I believe believe like all reading is good reading.
Yeah, me too.
And I remember reading the backs of shampoo bottles when I was a kid. But like, yes, you don't necessarily want to be like always buying books or stacking them up from the library and then forgetting to return them like I do. So I'm really anticipating a lot of snow days where we're having quite a lot of snowfall right now.
Yes.
And I'm anticipating some binging on Epic. And especially if your kids are into those collections, like if they're into the series books and they finish one and they want to move on to the next one, it's great. And it's a great deal because it's $7.99 a month to have access to 25,000 books plus.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
And that if you have more than one kid, it's still just the membership is $7.99 a month. We're going to give you 2 months free, but all three of my kids have their own separate little profile on there. So they feel like they each have one, and it doesn't matter which device I hand them. They just click their little, you know, avatar, which they think is really cute. And it leads them to their books and what they were most recently reading. It's just really smart.
That is really smart. Well, we are going to give you guys 2 months free if you use the promo code MOMHOUR. Again, you go to getepic.com and use the promo code MOMHOUR and you will get 2 free months of Epic.
We have heard from a lot of listeners who have gotten Epic and are loving it. And I love to hear from you guys when you try out one of our sponsors and are loving it. And just recently, I've seen several people say, oh my gosh, we're loving Epic. So glad that you told us about that. So
that makes us happy. Keep doing that.
Makes us happy.
Okay. Speaking of being happy, I didn't even do that on purpose.
You're so good. You're a pro.
I know.
I think it's my turn, right?
I think it is. Yes, it is your turn. Yep.
No, it isn't. Oh, no. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
We're total
pros.
It
is your turn.
Okay. So here's my next one. Happy moms set boundaries early and often. So this is, maybe it sounds a little negative if we're talking about happiness, but I don't think so. Actually, everything we've talked about so far in these two episodes, a lot of it has to do with identifying boundaries and setting boundaries for yourself. But this is something that, again, it gets easier with time. To me, what setting a boundary means is realizing in advance what I want, like you were talking about earlier, Megan, kind of that intentional thinking about what do I want, what makes me happy, what do my kids need, what does my family need, and then putting the pieces in place so that you're not being taken advantage of, either by people or by time or by bad habits. So a boundary could be as simple as, you know, a bedtime for your children because you enjoy the evening, you know, in front of the TV. And so that boundary is that your kids go to bed early and you stick to that boundary. A boundary can be with relationships and friendships and, you know, maybe letting certain friendships cool for a while because you're feeling stretched too thin, like your phone's going off all the time or you're overcommitted. So I think boundaries is, you know, it's kind of like a whatever.
It's a catch-all phrase, but
it's a little bit of a pop psychology word.
Yeah.
But it's helpful in thinking about happiness. If happiness is something we want to cultivate and preserve, the boundaries are the bumpers we put in place so that we're not encroached upon. So I guess it's a little loosey-goosey, but
it is. But I also want to just make sure that that we mentioned that boundaries has this like feeling like it's a fence that keeps things out.
Right.
But I would argue that it also can be preserving things that you want to keep in.
Yes.
So like for me, and now my life is insano right now. So I have like 3 jobs. There's, you know, kids are going back and forth between their dad and me. Like there's just a lot going on.
Yeah.
And I like to stay busy. So it's very tempting for me to fill all of my empty time with stuff. Mm-hmm. And so one thing that I have done is basically on my calendar, like Monday nights are a no-go. Like there's nothing scheduled on Monday nights unless I choose to do it with the kids. Like that's really like a very sacred family time for me. Because when I look at my calendar for the week, if I don't see at least one evening that I just don't have to do anything, I start to feel panicky and unhappy. So that's something where you could look at that as a boundary keeping other things out, but you could also look at it as like a protective like bubble around a 4-hour period of time. It's not much, but sometimes it doesn't have to be a lot to matter. It doesn't have to be a big chunk of time. It doesn't have to be like a whole week vacation or something. Sometimes just having those things that you draw those lines around can just be really comforting.
Yeah.
So it's comforting to me.
I totally agree. And actually, some of the thinking I've done about boundaries comes best from when I'm not very happy. And maybe that's starting from a place of negativity. But if you're in a phase where you are not feeling happy a lot of the time, that's probably a good opportunity to think about the opportunities for change and what boundaries could be put in place. And again, it doesn't all have to be less of this and none of that, and I've got to have a sit down conversation with this person and set boundaries. It doesn't have to be so formal. But if you're in an unhappy phase, what would need to change and what boundaries could be put in place to make room, like you said, Megan, for more happiness. So I think boundaries, I mean, we know with our little kids, a boundary is setting a limit that you stick to most of the time, except when we're flexible.
Right.
But setting boundaries with our kids is everything as simple as not letting them go outside barefoot in the snow to, you know, having values around how you speak to each other as a family. And so
not letting them throw granola bar wrappers on the floor. That's a big one.
That's a boundary. Or throw pillows. You do not like throw pillows.
No, I do not like throw pillows on the floor. No, oh my gosh. Just thinking about that is making me feel a little itchy.
So it applies across the board. Like when we were talking about asking for help, it's kind of the same. There are boundaries we set with our time and our calendar and our values outside, but there's also little boundaries we set with our very little kids every day. And so practicing setting boundaries, practicing identifying when you need to set boundaries, I think, just like you said, I like the way you put it, just sort of makes room for that happiness that is there.
And also, you know, we talked a little bit in one of the habits we talked about in this episode about how out of control things can feel and how you don't feel like you have a lot of power. And I think that, you know, you get to decide what those boundaries are, and what matters to someone else might not matter to you.
Right.
And what matters to you might not matter to anybody else. But guess what? It's your life.
Yeah.
You're the mom. You get to decide what is important and which boundaries you're going to bother to set. And that's, I think that can also just, like, in a world where nothing makes sense, as like a movie guy, movie trailer guy might say, it's nice to just have something that you decide.
Yeah. And I want to use the same example you used with teaching a kid to take out the trash, which is sometimes setting some boundaries is a little uncomfortable or takes a little bit more time than you'd like in the beginning. But the freedom you get after is worth it. So this is just a really silly example, but I do not like junk email. Like, I don't like getting emails from Old Navy and Bed Bath & Beyond, and nothing against those two stores. However, I do sometimes use the coupon codes that come in. So I, every couple months, go into Gmail and set up filters, which are literally like boundaries to my inbox.
Right.
So that those emails, I don't unsubscribe. They just go directly to a folder and I only check it. I don't ever see it except if I'm shopping and looking for a coupon code. And it makes me, it's so satisfying. And, you know, they'll always creep back in because you sign up for more stuff, or like they'll change their algorithm of who sends the email. But I can't tell you how good it feels to, like, it's like I'm beating the system or something.
I love that. Yeah. Just putting a little extra effort up front.
It takes me a little while. Like, I usually do it over a couple of days. I'll go through all those annoying emails and set up a filter for each one. And little by little, lo and behold, I'm not getting any of those anymore.
I tend to be bad about protecting myself from those little dings. Like, I tend to be like, oh, it's no big deal. But I was getting these, I got on some list, like on a press release list, and I was getting constantly like these celebrity, like, gossip press releases. And I just kept deleting them. And I just realized one day, every time one popped up, it was like this negative little, like, like a little ding against me.
Yeah.
And it was never a big deal. It wasn't anything that made me feel terrible, but it was just this like nagging little, I don't know, like being like mildly shocked.
Yeah.
You know? Like, not terrible, but also not pleasant. And
it's
one day
almost like someone's taking advantage of your attention. It's like, wait, I did not want to think about that right now.
Yes. Even if it's just a split second, it was still just kind of a thing. And one day I finally went through and unsubscribed to a bunch of stuff. And I didn't even realize how much better I felt about checking that email until I checked a different email account that I hadn't done that to, that I don't check as often, and saw all those emails I got on the list, the same list for two different email addresses. So all those emails had like piled up in the other address, and I saw it and was like, ugh, like it was this visceral reaction that I realized how much that was just like, just a little negative, you know, like a gnat, you know, buzzing around. And so it really, sometimes you have to make a decision. Is this the hill I'm going to die on? Is this something I can invest time in today? Yeah. And you decide no, and that's okay too. But sometimes it is totally worth taking a few extra minutes to set up those boundaries. Yeah. So I'm glad that was your habit. Yeah. Does that mean it's my turn and it's the last one?
It's the last one.
All right. Well, I love that we decided to end with this one, because I feel like I feel like the entirety of this show, and before this show, our blog on The Happiest Home, and before that blog, like sort of my like mission as a mom for the last however many years since I figured it out, mm-hmm. was this. And that is, happy moms are nice and compassionate toward other moms.
Yes.
I don't think you can really, I just don't think that can be overestimated. I'm sorry. It's so important. And the times of my life that I have been the least happy as a mom has been when I have been the most judgmental of other moms. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that judging other moms made me unhappy. It could have been the other way around, mm-hmm. but it's like a vicious circle. So you start criticizing other people because it makes you feel better about yourself, except it doesn't make you feel better about yourself. And then you know other people are criticizing you because you're in that mind frame of criticizing. Mm-hmm. And it just creates a really negative cycle to get into. And it's not helpful. It doesn't do anything positive for you. I think I figured that out when, I think that was like around the time when Isaac was a baby, and it really hammered home when I had Will and suddenly like, and was working and had a baby and like two kids in daycare. And suddenly all these things I thought that I was so good at, mm-hmm. I, you know, was just threw out the window because I couldn't do them anymore. And I realized how kind of passively judgy I'd been mm-hmm. to other moms at times. And sometimes actively, if I was with groups of moms who were like that. And that was mm-hmm. something I had to like completely excise from my life. I just couldn't have it. And I think for me, just giving moms the benefit of the doubt, like anytime I see something that's really negative toward a mom, like my initial reaction is to take her side mm-hmm. and be like, even if it's not something I spend a lot of time thinking about, if it's just me scrolling and I see one of those like judgy Facebook posts mm-hmm. or something, I immediately want to just be like, you know, I wonder what her side of the story is. I don't have to think, yeah. give it any more, you know, or maybe she was having a hard day, or like, I don't have to really give it any more thought than that. It's just like wiring your brain to be more compassionate mm-hmm. or more kind mm-hmm. has made me so much happier because I'm not thinking about other people doing things wrong.
Yep.
Which makes me kinder to myself. Like then I'm not exactly. thinking about myself doing things wrong all the time.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm glad you brought that up because I think we know, and psychology tells us, that a lot of the times the things we're most critical of or judgmental of are somehow tied into the way we feel about ourselves. So it makes sense that when you come from a place of compassion and sort of benefit of the doubt as your right. default, then you can extend that to yourself. And you can also assume that other people are doing the same. And maybe they're not. Maybe there are people judging you or being critical of you. But if you come from that place,
yeah,
it's possible that others are coming from that place too, which
just overall, the more time you spend in that place, the more you'll think other people, like the more you'll think about it. Like the more time you spend thinking about what other people are doing wrong, the more you'll think they're doing that. The more you'll think that they're thinking about what you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't help it. It just feeds.
Haven't you been surprised so many times when you've pegged a mom a certain way, even if you're not being overly judgmental, you think you've got her figured out for whatever reason, whatever external circumstance, and then have been surprised to find out that she's not that way at all. So, I mean, it's a lesson we have to learn over and over and over again, but I would agree. Happy moms are nice to other moms, period.
Yep. And period.
Imagine if that were true imagine if we could convince everyone.
What kind of world would we live in if that were the case? But I think it's so illustrated by the reaction that people have to this show, how mm-hmm. good it makes people feel to listen to it. It's not like we're telling you just throw everything out the window. You don't have to try. You know, everything's like every decision is just as good and valid as every other decision. That's not it at all. But we're coming at it from a place where we're on your side.
Yeah.
And we're not, you know, we know you're going to screw up because we screw up every single day. Like I screw up constantly.
Right.
So just having that in mind and like coming from a place where like we're all in this together, I just think it makes people feel better and feel happier. And also it puts you in a better position to make changes in your life because mm-hmm. it's so much easier to make changes when you're coming from a place of being supported mm-hmm. and feeling like you're striving for better than when you feel like you're digging out of a hole and everybody hates you. So it's like, I don't know. It's a mindset shift that can be difficult, especially if you tend to hang around really judgy people. And I would recommend if you do, then just find a way to not.
Yeah, ease out of that. You don't have to like unfriend everybody at once, but look for one or two people who come from that place of compassion instead of judgment, and listen to podcasts like this, and there are other ones like it, instead of things that make you feel crappy. And little by little, you are creating that environment for yourself, which trickles down to our kids because they are watching.
And the better you feel about yourself, the more you can celebrate when other people are are having a great time and the less you'll feel it's in your face, you know, like the less you'll feel sort of resentful about other people's successes. And that can be a really dangerous spiral to get into as well. Yes, and we've talked about that a lot. So. Yeah.
Ooh, that was a good one. A really good one to end it on. Okay, you guys. So if you have not listened to episode 137, that was last week. Go ahead and you'll get 5 more great habits of Mostly Happy Moms there. And if you are a new listener, welcome. We really hopefully, you know, listeners who really liked this episode have shared it. And I would love to welcome some new mom listeners the new year. So welcome if you're here for the first time. Go back and check what we've got in the archives. There's a lot there. And we love hearing from you. So you can email us anytime. It's hello@themomhour.com. And then everything we talked about, including our sponsors, we will link to in the show notes, which are at themomhour.com. So Megan, this was
very
fun.
Nice.
We will talk next week.
Go out and be a happy mom.